All right, everyone, welcome to the show. We've got Maddie Moorhead today from Valparaiso University. Maddie is the first student on the study of broadcast that interned in the continent of Africa. She's the second student that studied abroad in Africa, but the first that lived in the country of Namibia, which is in the southern part. Maddie does a great job in this interview. Every interview is different, and Maddie does a great job of painting a picture of what it was actually like to live in Africa. We talk about the preconceived notions that people have about Africa from what we've seen in popular culture, and she does a great job of telling us what it's actually like. So hopefully it'll inspire you to study abroad, if not actually go to Africa. But without further ado, I'll turn it over to Maddie. All right, thanks, guys.
The three biggest reasons only 10% of students study abroad: they're afraid of being homesick, they don't think it's safe, and the number one reason people don't study abroad is cost. We're here to dispel all that. Find out exactly how that 10% crafted their study abroad journey, and how you can too. I'm Chris Carlton, and this is the Study Abroadcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Study Abroadcast. Here we go again. This is Chris Carlton here with Maddie Moorhead from Valparaiso University, and she studied abroad in Africa. I don't want to butcher the name, but at first she was in South Africa, and then she bounced around a little. I'm sure she's going to tell you all about it. Maddie, thank you very much for being here, and welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So why Africa? You're the first person I think we've had to study abroad in Africa, but I mean, that's awesome that you picked it. But yeah, tell me about it. I'm curious, why did you choose Africa?
Yeah, so the program that I was on was actually all about nation building and kind of just like decolonizing the mind is what they called it. Uh-huh. So I'm a social work major here at Valparaiso. And I kind of want to do like community development with my future career. And so that program name just kind of really sparked my interest. Mm-hmm. Because I also love traveling. And so working internationally with different communities would definitely be something I'd want to do.
Nice.
Yeah. And so especially with my social work classes here, I've definitely had to take like different diversity classes, kind of just paying attention to those preconceived notions and biases that I have. So that was something that I also really wanted to be able to confront during my time abroad. And I think I was definitely able to accomplish that, and being able to kind of see, because we studied a lot about apartheid. So, seeing how the country was able to gain its independence during that time.
It was Britain, right?
Britain was Cape Town in like South Africa, but Namibia, where I was for the 4 months I was there, was colonized by the Germans.
Okay. Wow. See, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, so community building. Yeah, so this is tell me about the program then. Like, how did you select? I mean, was it through Valparaiso that you did this? Was it like an exchange, or did you use a third party program? How did you set the whole thing up?
Yeah, so it's through a third party program. It's actually based out of Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
So it's called Augsburg University, and they just partner with my university and kind of like exchange students for each of our programs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's how I found out about it. And then they have a study center in Namibia. So what we did was I flew into Johannesburg in South Africa and spent about a week there. Then we went to like the very south of South Africa and spent like 4 days there, and then spent another week in Cape Town before heading up to Namibia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. So the program that you had that you selected and did this with Augsburg, I'm asking, were there different lengths that you could choose from? Like, could you go for a summer, for example, or for an entire academic year? And yeah, it probably makes sense that you settled on the semester, but did you have the option to?
Yeah, so I know that they're definitely looking into that. The program itself right now is kind of small. There were only 7 students total when I went, but they're working on having different opportunities to do like a summer or a year program. And then they're also trying to implement where you can attend classes at a university in Namibia. So there's like University of Namibia that you could go to and take classes there.
Right.
So that's some new stuff that they're working on.
Always. Yeah, they're always doing something to try to get more people to come and go. And so for this program, were there any grants or scholarships involved that you were able to apply to, or did you apply to any?
Yeah, I actually did get a $500 scholarship that I had applied for. It's just from a couple that's really passionate about study abroad, and so they were able to provide some money for me that way.
Nice. And okay, so yeah, awesome. And that's another thing. If this is your first time listening to the interview, or you've listened to previous ones, you guys will know that the vast majority of people on the show have received some kind of fund or something to go. So it's like, I mean, to simplify it, it's like getting paid to travel. All you have to do is fill out an essay or a few of them, and you'll get something, right? So now,
No,
did you
did you do that?
I'm just trying to get people to go, and this is an awesome program, and we'll definitely link to it, so maybe they can get the same thing that you did. And did you have any doubts before you left? Had you been out of the country before? The last girl I interviewed, Megan, she'd never been out of the she'd never even been on a plane before. And
Oh,
she,
wow.
so yeah, so it's just always interesting to hear, but yeah, tell me about that kind of feeling leading up to when you left.
Yeah, so I have been out of the country before. I've been to Peru, South America, and I've also been to Honduras. So this was my first time kind of heading over east and definitely to Africa, just because there's such a way that Africa is portrayed in the US. So I really had no idea what to expect. I knew that, South Africa was more developed, so I knew that it would be very culturally and geographically different, but I didn't know what really to expect and how developed it would be, or especially Namibia, because I had different home stays as well, so I didn't know how houses were going to be set up. I had a rural home stay in northern Namibia, so I was like, okay, is this going to be like living out in the wilderness? I don't really know what to expect. So, yeah, those were definitely some doubts I had. I didn't really know how to pack. They did have a packing list, but like clothes, I wasn't really sure about. I got to Johannesburg and it was like 40 degrees in August. So I was like, oh man, it's actually really cold. And I was like wearing all my layers that I had brought. So, yeah.
So that's really interesting. So it's not as much as you were afraid, like I don't want to say afraid, but you had fears, but it's just like you didn't know what to expect, as opposed to someone who, and I'm not knocking studying abroad in Spain or anywhere, but let's just, well, I studied abroad in Argentina, so we'll use my country as an example, like as opposed to like, were they a little more set up for it, or a little more structured, and you kind of know what you're getting into? And this, it sounds like you don't know what to expect. Like, expect the unexpected completely with Africa. And it's funny that you mentioned like our perception of it, but that's exactly what you had going in. Like, you don't know if a lion's gonna attack you, or there's gonna be a riot, or what. But okay, so that's really interesting. And but so you did get there, and you're back in one piece because you're talking to us.
Yes.
And but tell me about, so what was your living situation like? Do you have roommates? Was it a host family? And then the classes. So how, did they factor in with the program on building cultures? Like, did you even have classes? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the living situation, the whole program was based out of this one like really big house that was close to downtown of the capital, Windhoek, Namibia.
Right.
So while we were staying in South Africa, we stayed in different like hostels or guest houses or stuff like that. And then when we got to Namibia, we were in this big house. And the professors would come in every day. We had a couple ladies who would cook for us, like local cultural food. And then we had kind of like a dorm set up. So I had one roommate. And then the classrooms were just like in the living space of the house
Oh,
because
really?
it was such a small program with 7 people.
Yeah.
So I had classes for about, it was once a week for 4 hours a day. So I was taking history, religion, political science, and then I took a yoga class, which was a lot of fun. We like
Wait,
went
like,
to a
did you get
yoga teacher.
credit for it?
Yeah, I
Are you
did.
serious?
Yeah, it was like 1 credit for like wellness,
Oh
my
my
gym.
God. You
But
usually
yeah.
have to pay, like, okay, that's okay. Was
Yeah,
it
it
good?
was
Like, was it an
nice.
actual yoga class? Like, that's what it was? It was just yoga?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my
So
God. All
to
right.
this lady's house, and she like taught it out of her backyard, basically, and it was really cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, so piggybacking off of that, like, from what, like, I can gather with, like, I had friends that lived there too. Tell me about, like, the dollar goes a lot farther there, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. So
So, yeah, go, no,
dollar
go ahead,
here is 15 Namibian dollars is what it's called.
And is it like, is 15 Namibian dollars like 15 Namibian dollars, like 15 Namibian dollars, and you go to like a movie at night or something? Or what, like, what does 15 Namibian dollars get you?
Yeah, so 15 or yeah, so 15 Namibia dollars could get you like, I don't know, it was like $20 for a beer if I were to get a beer there. That's like probably $1.50 in the US comparison.
So that's, yeah, that's
So
pretty good. I mean, like, I remember, like, they were getting, like, massages and everything, and I think at one point they even had, like, butlers or something crazy, but they were in
yeah.
South Africa, and this was a while ago, but I just know that they were doing stuff that there's no way college students could do. So,
Right.
yeah, and you're taking yoga classes and getting credit for it. So there's something, like, it's pretty cool. I think, yeah, like, South Africa, I don't want to speak for, like, the rest of Africa, but is Namibia close to South Africa? I'm not even looking
Yeah,
on the,
it was
okay.
actually under South African rule at one point. So they're kind of similar, but they definitely have their differences as well.
All right, so they're like right next to each other. Like, I don't know about the rest of Africa, but yeah, like, there's a lot of hidden, well, it's, I don't want to say gems, but like with the diamonds, I don't know, but there's a lot of cool things in Africa, I think. So now, and that's a good segue to a travel story. I mean, this is where I ask people about something that went wrong or crazy, but like, did you go on a safari or anything like that? Like, what? Tell me a little bit about your time there.
Yeah, so we definitely went on safaris. I will kind of, I have a lot that I could talk about, but I did an internship while I was there as well.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I did an internship at a feminist magazine, nonprofit magazine. So their big issue there with women's rights is gender-based violence. So I got to learn a lot about that, and I actually have like a published article in the magazine there. It's called Sister Namibia. So I wrote for the magazine. I did workshops for like men and women alike, just kind of telling people about women's rights and how everyone can be a feminist, and how to kind of prevent gender-based violence. So I went to panel discussions and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. The homestays were also an awesome experience. The one that was in the capital of Namibia in Windhoek, it was a really fun experience. My host dad was like very well off. The family was pretty wealthy. And so we went on like a motorcycle ride around town, and he took me to like different places throughout the city. And then my rural homestay was in northern Namibia, where they live like a pretty sustainable lifestyle. So we were doing like bucket showers at night. They didn't have any like running tap water, but they had a well. And then let's see. So yeah, I would take bucket showers outside at night, like underneath the stars, which was pretty cool. They cooked all their stuff outside. They would like kill the chicken right in front of you, and you would eat it like that night. So that
So
was.
is it like is it noticeably different taste? I've heard, I mean, I've heard fresh fish, but it was like a fresh chicken too. Is it better?
Oh yeah, I think that's one of the things I miss the most is the food there. Like, the chicken was so tender and just like fell right off the
Oh my
bone. And
God. Yeah.
here it's all processed, and yeah, I miss it
Yeah,
so
well, it's kind of funny. Like, I'm assuming that that chicken is organic technically. Like, you know, you can get organic chicken here, like, or cage free. I know it's cage free, but I don't know like what they feed it. Like, I don't know. It's probably better than it is here. I remember when I was in Argentina, just like eating meat and chicken. It you can, it I don't know if it sucks, but it's like you get like a bone, like a little bone sometimes, and you never do here. But it's just like so much more authentic, and it just makes you think like it's all just like steroids here. But
Yeah, it
whatever.
was awesome.
Okay, so and then yeah, so with the bucket showers too, I guess you got to experience kind of the other end of Africa, right? The other end of the chasm.
Yeah,
Okay.
so most of the house was outside, which was pretty cool. Like I said, they cooked outside. They just had like a kind of buildings.
Right.
So there was one building that was like a kitchen, and then you would walk to the next building and it was like a room. And then the next building was like the living space. So, but everything was pretty much done outside. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And so wait, how many places did you live total while you were there then? Is it two or three?
Oh gosh, that's.
Or are you just bouncing around all the time? Like, I've talked to people too that are like, okay.
I was pretty much bouncing around all the time. I would say Windhoek was the main hub.
Windhoek? All
Yes,
right, I'm gonna have to like link all these and get pictures of them at some point or something.
yeah, for sure. And I have pictures on my Instagram and like Facebook too, so
Well, we will of course link to that in the post,
yeah.
Maddie. And so, and then did you, so you mentioned the safari too. Let me ask you, what is a, like, what do you do on a safari? Like, so here's, and again, this is my American perception, and I'm not gonna Google it or anything. Like, this is just off. Like, I feel like you're in the Jeep, right? And you're driving around, what is it, like the bush? Like, you're driving around in the bush or whatever they call it, like out in the wild, and the animals just kind of like come up to you. Is that what a safari is?
There definitely are safaris like that. I did not go on any safaris like that, but there were ones available. One that I went on was just like a national park kind of place. Sorry, I got my notifications here. But yeah, it was like a national park. It was called Etosha National Park. And so basically, we could just drive around in our own vehicle and look at different animals. And then there were like different resorts that you could stay at in the national park. And they had like watering holes at the resorts that you're staying at. And so the animals would like come up throughout the day. It was a 24/7 hour accessible watering hole. And then like zebras, elephants, warthogs, all these different kinds of animals just came up to the watering hole, or you would drive past them in your vehicle. We also went to a rehabilitation center where they had different animals that they were helping like rehabilitate and get back into the wild. So that was pretty cool as well.
Nice. Okay. No, yeah, I'm glad I asked then. And with what so you were bouncing around all these places. Did you go, hold on a second. I mean, did you travel like around Africa? Like, did you go anywhere else in Africa then? Like, other than your appointed destinations? I mean, 'cause I know like, so this is like the study abroad, like, you know, an excursion or like, oh, I visited this many countries or we went to here. Were you able to do that? And if so, where did you go? I'm seeing Madagascar. So that's, is that like,
I would have loved to go to Madagascar. There were honestly so many options.
okay, see, I didn't even know that. Yeah, like where, like what did you do and where, yeah.
Madagascar would have been really cool. Mauritius, there's this little tiny island called Mauritius, like right to the right of Madagascar, that I would have loved to go to. So those are definitely places I need to go to and go back. But I went to Victoria Falls, which is
Oh, okay, yeah. That was
Zambia and
awesome,
Zimbabwe. Yeah.
right?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I did Iguazu Falls in South America, and it was the most amazing experience I've ever had in my life. And I'm told that it's the second biggest falls in the world to the Victoria ones, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, breathtaking, right?
It was
Yeah.
actually their dry season,
Oh.
so it wasn't as like big as it was supposed to be, I guess, like during their heavy rainfall season, but it was still amazing. Like, I was so shook that that wasn't like the rainy season, because even though it wasn't, it was still, yeah, amazingly breathtaking.
Yeah. Okay. So that's awesome. And then yeah, you could have. Okay, so I'm just seeing all, and I do have it on the map now. But like, for example, like if you wanted to, like getting from north to south is what? Like, is that like flying across the United States if you're going from like Cape Town to Egypt? Or it's bigger, it's even further, isn't it? Like,
Yeah, it would be much further.
okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to kind of navigate like the sizes of both countries.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, like I don't, I have no frame of reference here.
Yeah, because I would talk to people while I was there, and they were like, "Oh, the United States is really big, right? Like, people think that you can just like people were saying, "Oh, I've been to Utah before, but I'm from Indiana." So I'm like, "I have no idea anything about Utah." But yeah, so it was just kind of hard to get a frame of reference, because their countries are so close together too, and they're kind of smaller. So like, their country is definitely smaller than the US in Africa, but I mean, they have so many more countries within the whole continent. So.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Interesting. Now, this is again, we're moving on. I'm having a lot of fun. What, is there African food? Like, I'm sure there is. I don't, but can you tell me a little bit about it? Do you miss it? Was it good? Was it bad? Tell me about the food there. And not just African, but like, is there a McDonald's there? Like, yeah.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny. I always tell people this, but the only American fast food chain that they have there is KFC. And I was told that McDonald's doesn't even meet Namibia's food regulations, and so that's why they don't have McDonald's. So that was kind of crazy to me.
Oh, it's ironic that we were talking about the chicken before. I wonder where the chickens are coming from with the
I
KFC
know, yeah, I'm not
chicken.
sure. Yeah.
Okay, so only KFC. I know that they're big. KFC's big in China too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but yeah. So that's interesting. I'd like to know why that only KFC is allowed. But and then
Yeah.
is there like an African dish or not even? I don't want to say. So I don't want to. This is, see again, this is the like the I don't not I don't want to say Africa, like South Africa or Namibian dish, right? That would that because they're different countries,
Yeah.
but you know what I'm saying? So is
Yeah.
there something?
Yeah. So since I spent most of my time in Namibia, they're like they have different tribes there, and the most like common tribe is or the greatest tribe there is Oshiwambo. So that's what most people are there. And they have a dish called Oshithima in the local language, and really it's called pop in English. And so what it is just kind of like this wheat that they make into kind of, I would say that the most equivalent comparison would be oatmeal, kind of, but you eat it with meat and like vegetables. And so it was really good, and you eat it with your hands instead of like forks and spoons and stuff. But yeah, so that was really good, and I got to learn how to make that a little bit in the rural homestay. But they eat that all over
Okay.
Namibia.
All right, so that's like the, I don't know, I guess cheeseburger and French fries of Namibia.
Yeah, maybe for, I mean, maybe for like the rural families, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, interesting. Was there ever a time when you were just like, ew, or I don't trust that, or no, was it pretty okay?
Yeah, so I kind of have a funny story about that too. So we visited the king's house in rural Namibia. They call it the North. So we went to the king's house and we were having like dinner at the king's house where they prepared like all this traditional food.
Wait, like this isn't like literally the king of the country?
No, it's just
Okay,
the
wait.
king of the village. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm
Yes,
glad I
yeah,
specified there. Yeah, you just, but like it wouldn't be a
yeah.
house; it would be a castle if that were the case. But okay, go
Right.
ahead. Yeah.
Well, it was a pretty big house though. It was really big.
Okay.
But yeah, so we were eating I think it was lunch there, and I like took this big bite of dried spinach, and because they cook outdoors and like it's really windy sometimes since it's like in the desert, the sand kind of will kick up into the pot and stuff.
Right.
When I took this big bite of dried spinach, I feel like the main ingredient in that spinach was sand. Because
So
like
it's like, do you want
seriously
any spinach
strong.
with your sand kind of thing? You know,
Yeah,
people say
yeah.
that.
And my friends who were sitting next to me could like hear the crunching while I was taking bites of it. And they were like, "You have to finish it. Like, this is the king's house. You can't spit that out." And I was just like sitting there suffering, trying to swallow it. It was so horrible. But that was the only bad experience I had.
Yeah, okay. It could be worse, but yeah, that's I, yuck. All right. And then like for the most part, could you, is there anything that they didn't have? Like, you know how, like I said, like pizza or like a cheeseburger and French fries, like can you get that easily, or is it weird to ask for that stuff, or chicken wings or something? I don't know.
Yeah, so they pretty much have everything. I was really surprised that they had hot dogs. Like there was a hot dog stand that my friend took me to.
Okay, so what about the other end? Like again, could you get like sushi? Did they have Mexican there, like Indian food? You see what I'm trying to gauge. Like you telling me this is me gauging like how developed the country is, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had Indian food. I think because they're the eastern side of the world and India is so close, Indian cuisine is really kind of popular there. They also had sushi. It was kind of hard to find sometimes, but it was definitely available. They did not have a lot of Mexican food.
But they did, though, right? Like,
Yeah, they
okay.
had like I wouldn't even say it was really Mexican food. I would say, yeah, it was, they had like a Cuban place where we ate food, but
That's interesting.
there wasn't any really like tacos or burritos or
Right.
anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird with the maybe because it's I don't know, like it's hard to find a Cuban restaurant where I live, you know? So the fact that they did, there's Mexican places all around, but okay. Now moving on. You're back at school now and we just talked about how the semester just started. What year, like when do you plan to graduate and all that, and what's your you talked about your major, but I guess the question is, like, how has it affected you since you've gotten home and everything?
Yeah, so I'm a junior,
Okay.
so I have a year after this year, and then I'll probably go on to get my master's, but I think really what the whole experience has really helped me to understand is just kind of being conscious of those biases that you have just being in a white dominated world. And definitely looking out for those white spaces and kind of just like making them inclusive is something that I've really taken away from that, because being on that side of the world and being the minority there and then coming here and being the majority has really like let me kind of see both sides and how people of minority in the U.S. culture may feel. So that's definitely something that I've taken away. And I think that will really help me in my major and my future as a social worker.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. So on that note, another question then, as far as the diversity, maybe not, I don't know if maybe it was big enough, but I guess Cape Town, right? Like, so you go to any big city in the United States, not like a million people, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be pretty diverse. So you mentioned you're the minority, but like, how is it, like, are there any Asian people, Hispanic people, right? Like, or is it just like all African people?
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. So I would say South Africa, especially Cape Town, there are a lot of white people there.
Well, yeah.
But in Namibia, it's not the case. It's interesting because Namibia gained its independence in 1990. So from Germany is who they were colonized by. Nice. So there's actually like a significant amount of Germans there still to this day, and there's a lot of what they call Afrikaners, which are people like British people from South Africa in Namibia as well, but it's definitely significantly less than the African population, and yeah, so it was interesting because I would be walking around and you were aware of the amount of white people that were in the area because that's the people who look like you. So that just made me only imagine how people in the U.S. feel when they walk into a room and they're like, wow, I'm the only black person here. I'm the only Asian person here, you know? Mm-hmm. But there was also, like, there were Asian people there. They have really good relations with Korea, actually, North Korea. So
that's another thing. That's like the Kentucky Fried Chicken of global relations. You wouldn't think that. I mean, I don't think, well, first of all, so now I'm on the globe with the map, right? I don't think you can get further away from, like, you see what I'm saying? South Korea, it's pretty far away. Everything's far away. Yeah. How long was your flight?
Oh, gosh. So I think it was about 18 hours of flying total. I had a layover in Amsterdam.
Can they get that far? Like, could you go from, like, say, like, Miami to Cape Town? Do you even know if it goes that far?
I'm not sure. I went from Chicago to Amsterdam and Amsterdam to Johannesburg, so
right, but that was my flight. Like, haven't people flied around the world? I don't know. It's just, yeah, okay.
interesting.
Yeah, okay. All right, now, personally, do you have any recommendation, like a book recommendation? And it doesn't have to be study abroad related, but just like anything that you like that you'd want to recommend?
And it doesn't have to be related to my study abroad, or?
No, it can be. It doesn't have to be, but just, yeah.
So, I mean, there is a book that I read while I was abroad, and it's by this guy named Steve Biko, and it's called I Write What I Like, and it's all about the Black Consciousness Movement, which I had never heard about before going there, but it's all about how kind of during colonialization, they enforced this kind of belief into blacks that they were lesser. And so it kind of just talks about that and what his experience with that was. So that was definitely an interesting read.
Right. So that fits right in with the feelings that you were having too.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And any media recommendations, like apps, blogs, websites, podcasts?
Not that I
It's
can
okay.
think.
Yeah, it's okay if you don't. I'm always curious because I'm in the tech world, as it were, and I'm always curious. Well, like a new app that I don't know about. Like for example, like there's one called, no one's recommended this. I know this one, but it's called, I think it's called Forest. I haven't installed it yet, but it's completely the only, it shuts your phone down for like however long you want, like an hour or half an hour, and you can't use it no matter what. The only way to get out of it is to like turn your phone off and on. So it's like a focus app. So I mean that's like an example. So that's my recommendation. I got one for you. And then finally, what would you tell a student who is thinking about studying abroad but not really sure if they should go? Like if you had a little sister or brother who was scared, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I would say do it. Please do it. I think that it's so amazing that you can go somewhere and get a cultural understanding of someone else, like what it's like to live somewhere else, and then bring that back to the US and tell people about it.
Right.
That's why I was so excited to be able to be on your podcast.
Oh,
Because,
thank you.
yeah, because I mean, how many people get to go and do that? So to be able to have that opportunity and then share about it, I think is just amazing. And
Yeah.
it's changed my perspective in so many ways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So it's like hindsight, you can't imagine like not going, right?
Yeah,
Like
I think
all
I've
4 years or 4 or 5 years at Valparaiso and like never leaving once. Yeah, it's I don't know. I tell people like again, the numbers are 10% of students study abroad, but like I think the like if you don't want to go or you're worried about going, or I know the cost is the reason, but like I'd say just like do Canada for a summer. I've said this many times before, just to like be able to put it on your resume that you have international experience or something like that. And but yeah, but I mean I always love talking to like longer, farther away is more interesting. And I that's again good advice too. It's like whenever you're in town, right, you meet some if you meet someone that's not from like where you are, it's always interesting to hear them tell a story. So all right, and then do you have a quote you want to share?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do. Let's see. I pulled up like a list of them because I was like, oh, I don't know which one I want to say. I'll go with a Nelson Mandela quote just because that was such a
Perfect.
big part of
Yeah.
my experience as well. But he said, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, right on sitting with everything, with the interview, with the show, with studying abroad. Perfect. Well, Maddie, thank you very much. Anything else you want to add or it's okay
Not
if you don't.
anything though. Yeah. I guess there is kind of a crazy story. I know you had mentioned earlier like something that went totally wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can share that. I was
Yes,
hanging out.
tell me.
Yeah, I was hanging out with a local friend in his like neighborhood, and we were just like walking around. He was showing me around or whatever, and it was probably a little later than I should have been there. It was like 8 o'clock on a Sunday, so the sun had gone down, and we actually like got jumped by these five guys. So that was crazy. Not like attacked or anything, but they like took our phone and took our money and like all this stuff and just started running down the street. And we were like, oh my gosh, what the heck? What happened? And he ended up recognizing one of the guys that like stole from us. And so him and like his neighbors were trying to figure out like where this guy lives. And it ends up that we figure out where he lives and like talk to the guy's mom and get everything back that he had stolen from us. So that was
Wait,
kind of my.
tell me about how did this happen? Like, did they have weapons or like was you said your
No.
friend was a guy that you were visiting or a girl?
Yeah, it was a guy.
So like I can see like you like they run up behind you and they snatch your purse, right? Purse
Yeah.
snatching. But like how did they get his stuff? I don't.
They just like reached in his pockets and grabbed it.
Oh my God. And they got your stuff too?
So then we went and talked to the mom, and the mom was like, I can't condone this behavior. And so she like went into the guy's room and found our stuff in there, but the guy had taken our money obviously and like left. But I got my phone back, I got my house keys back and all this other stuff. So that was like crazy.
All right. Well, yeah. So could have been worse again, but yeah, that's good to know. And then also, wait, you said you had roommates too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were from different, was it just Augsburg that they were from, or were they from everywhere?
So there were two students from Augsburg. One goes to school in Massachusetts, but she lives in Florida. And then there was actually one that lives like 20 minutes away from me, but I had never met her before, so that was pretty cool. And then three students from my university.
Right. Okay, and I'm assuming that you still keep in touch with them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I made some of the best friends.
Right. That's one of the best parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, perfect. Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that story, too.
Yeah.
Well, Maddie, yeah, I can't think of anything else I have. Thank you very much for doing this. There'll be a lot of links in the show notes, which I'm always happy or excited about when I edit the interview. So, guys, leave us an honest review of the show, as always. Let me know how I'm doing. Social media for new interviews. You can also sign up and I'll email them to you on the website. Maddie, thank you again for doing this, and I will talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, bye. All right, that was great. Thank you, Maddie.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out all the really neat infographics on the rest of the posts as well as the interviews. There's a lot of good information. You should also download Studying Abroad 201. I really recommend it if you need kind of a fire lit under your ass for studying abroad and you need some motivation. It crafts my journey and exactly what I did. Also, we can email you new interviews or you can connect with us on social media. All right, thanks a lot.